Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Triangles Meditation Group, a weekly webinar that we host to support the strengthening and growth of the Triangles Network. We aim to introduce the work of Triangles to those people who are new to it and to aid them in the forming of Triangles. And our other aim is to, as I said, create this platform whereby people who are already members of Triangles can come together each week and participate in a meditative visualization in the support and strengthening of the Triangles Network. Triangles is a simple visualization technique using the power of prayer and thought to uplift and transform consciousness. Excuse me, I think I have a problem. Triangles is a simple visualization technique using the power of thought and prayer to uplift and transform consciousness. The work of Triangles is simply the establishing of a line of light, of loving, lighted communication between three people who agree to vivify that triangular link every day. Three people link together as a triangle of light, mentally, spiritually, and in a spirit of goodwill to all humanity. This triangle is then placed within the larger framework of the network of triangles, and as that network is visualized, the great invocation is sounded in order to release and circulate spiritual energies throughout the etheric network and into the consciousness of humanity, touching all open hearts and minds that can respond to spiritual stimulation when it is released into the atmosphere. Triangles workers come together to dissipate the glamour of the astral plane, drawing what they need from cosmic etheric levels and pouring it down and releasing it into the three worlds of daily living. Through this means, we are all playing our part in meeting human need, and also the need of all living beings. In this way, we follow in the footsteps of the Buddha and the Christ and all great teachers. So as we do each week, let's now take a moment of silence to link up with each other and with all Triangles members throughout the world, followed by a sounding of the mantra on your screen. Radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. Our theme today is making the planet sacred. And our level of understanding sacrifice, which is always involved in making something sacred, is largely a misunderstood concept. But at the level of understanding of the planetary logos, who's learning to function under the influence of this great law, sacrifice is said to convey pure bliss, the highest measure of joy. But of course, for us, this bliss is something we cannot begin to fathom. Nonetheless, the concept of sacrifice holds true, that the more one gives and sacrifices, the more one can have, because there is no longer any attachment to it. In the Yoga Sutras, this idea is conveyed in the 37th Sutra of Book 1, which states, "When abstention from theft is perfected, the yogi can have whatever he desires." And in the commentary, it states that as we grow to desire nothing for the separated self, the riches of the universe begin to pour in. And in that commentary, it states, "When he makes no demand for the lower nature and claims nothing for the threefold physical man, then all that he desires comes to him unasked and unclaimed." And it goes on to state that in some translations of this sutra are found the words, "All jewels are his." And this is found on The Light of the Soul, page 197. So as we, in our way, take baby steps along this path of sacrifice, an inkling of the nature of what our logos is doing begins to dawn on us. Triangles workers are learning to work sacrificially and contributing to the building of this thought form within the planet. For the aim of the triangle's work is, as you know, planetary service. It has no relation to the personality and is geared solely towards improving conditions in our needy world. The triangle's work gives circulation to the living energies of light, love, and power, which are given direction to dissipate the lower forces of glamour and illusion that are running rampant at this time. The more people who participate in the triangle's work, the more effectively will light and goodwill encircle the planet and touch all open hearts and minds, thereby making straight the way for the coming one, the avatar of love, the Maitreya, the Christ, the Iman Mahdi. And as we approach in 3.5 weeks' time, the Aries full moon, the first of the three spiritual festivals of the higher interlude, we can together begin our approach to invoke what's called the spirit of resurrection. He who comes with healing in his wings to bring this quality of livingness, of hierarchical energy, to bear upon all the sons of humanity. Technically speaking, a sacred planet is one whose etheric body is composed, we're told, of a network of triangles, triangles being the symbols of the soul. We can see, therefore, how this work we do together in triangles plays an integral role in aiding our logos to shift into that higher realization. When this triangular network is eventually established, which we're told will not occur for a very long time to come, it will signal that our planet has aligned with its source and will then be able to carry out its purpose and its intention more fully within the larger systemic whole and beyond. For the awakening of the planet is a catalyst for awakening within this larger system of which we are a part. And this awakening is going on now, even though the final goal is a long way into the future. Nonetheless, there are stages in the process. And it's said that what is occurring now has relation to a minor initiation being undergone by our locals in preparation for the later taking of a major initiation. And in a paradoxical manner, however, it's said that within the inner planes, this awakening, this realization of the sacredness of our planetary life has already happened. This makes sense because we know that all that ever was or that ever will be is ever present, substanding the outer form, existing within a dimension beyond the confines of time and space. Our task, therefore, is to aid in bringing to a more conscious realization that which form veils, the light, the synthesis, the ability to identify with the greater whole. To make something sacred is to realize its divine intention, to realize the idea which brought it forth. Of course, we cannot really know what that idea is in relationship to our planetary life, for that purpose is safely guarded and hidden. And each planet, it's, we're told, has a particular role to play within the larger collective life of the system in which it is linked, and a purpose that is unique and qualified by its particular dharma. And just as an individual's process of rising and journeying back to the Father's house is a long and arduous one, infinitely greater still is the journey of a Logos back to his Father's house. As stated, this law of sacrifice not only conditions our tiny lives, but also the life of our great planetary Logos himself, who in the esoteric teachings is sometimes called the Great Sacrifice. Many of you will surely have read an interesting allegory given out by the Tibetan about our Logos, found in some ancient writings in the old commentary, which may give us some insight into the nature of this great being, our Logos, who is known in the teachings as the Divine Rebel. And it is this rebellion which is said to underlie the pain and suffering felt on our planet. We're asked, however, not to interpret these statements too literally. The passage states that when our planetary Logos first came to inhabit this planet some 18 million years ago, he changed his mind. He did not wish to undertake the task that he had chosen. He was said to have gone back to the solar Logos and asked for a different assignment. The old commentary stated, he called out, "I sought not this. I look for peace, for light, for scope to serve, to prove my love and reveal my power. But light there is none. Peace is not found. Let me return." And then it states that the solar Logos basically didn't even look at our Logos, didn't even acknowledge what he was saying. There was no option. And then the teaching goes on to state, from the lower sphere of darkness and of pain, a lower voice was heard. It said, "We suffer here. We seek the light. Raise us up into heaven and make the sacrifice." The Lord of Life returned, but liked it not, and hence the pain. So perhaps as we make those sacrifices that are constantly called for on our own spiritual path, we can remember the great sacrifice and infinite patience that our planetary Logos demonstrates in his arduous task of bringing order out of chaos and in fulfilling the grand design of making this planet sacred. So now let's work together to play our part in this great task. So let's take a moment to link in thought with all those people throughout the world who are working with this Triangles Meditation Group. We invoke the spiritual will in the center of the will of God. I stand. Naught shall deflect my will from His. I implement that will by love. I turn towards the field of service. I, the triangle divine, work out that will within the square and serve my fellow men. Using the creative imagination, link with two other points of light to create a triangle of light. Recognize that a radiant living network of triangles has been built around the planet as a result of the daily work of triangles members. Visualize the triangle in which you are working as an essential part of this worldwide triangles network. Hold the consciousness immersed within the light of the group soul, the heart of love which underlies and infuses the network. Lift the consciousness higher still to the world teacher, who stands not only as the heart of love at the center of the spiritual hierarchy of the planet, but also at the heart of each triangle, infusing and radiating the energy of love. Hold the group mind open and receptive to this inpouring energy of love. Visualize light and goodwill circulating around the triangles from point to point and flowing out through the network into the hearts and minds of men and women everywhere. As light and goodwill are distributed, realize that they increase the brilliance of the whole network. The consequent radiation has an inevitable constructive and healing effect, lifting and transforming human consciousness and establishing right human relationships. Visualize the whole planet alight with triangles. See new triangles being formed everywhere. Prior to sounding the great invocation, let's pause to consider the work to be done by the words that will be poured out. And as we repeat each stanza, let us visualize the network acting as a link between the world of spiritual realities and humanity, as a channel through which light and love and divine purpose may flow into human consciousness. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And now we come to the third and final part of the webinar, wherein we would like to hear from you if you would like to share any of your thoughts or ideas about the triangle's work, any contributions that you might like to share with the group, any questions you might have about this work. You can share by either typing in a comment in the chat box or by raising your hand, which involves just clicking on your name and then we'll unmute your microphone. So I see there's Amy. Okay. Hello, Amy.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I am interested in the plan that the masters know and serve. Could you speak a little bit more about that?
Sure. From my understanding, which is always limited, we try to understand these vast concepts with our concrete minds. But one idea about the plan that was used as a keynote for an arcane school conference recently gives somewhat of an expanded perspective on it, that it's related to the creation of a subjective synthesis and telepathic interplay that will eventually annihilate time. So I think all of these impacts from the great highest center on our planet, Shambhala, are said to have it with the aim in view of breaking down the barriers of separation between these artificial barriers that humanity has created between the sexes, the races, the nations, the economic classes. It's really related, I think, the plans working out is to related to this breakdown and the consequent greater subjective synthesis on the planet. So that's one of my understandings of this idea. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Just
sure.
Wondering how the masters serve that and how we participate in it as well, I'm sure.
Well, I think through our subjective work is one of the main means whereby the masters work, you know, their work is to impress humanity. And so there's always this progression of love that's unfolding on our planet from the highest center to the smallest and tiniest life, a great chain of being that unites all things. And to the extent that we work to align ourselves and place ourselves within that flow, that chain of being, to that extent do we serve the masters in their work. But of course, there's all the practical things that humanity is charged with doing and implementing that plan, which relates to the principle of sharing, house cleaning in the field of religion and politics, a cessation of wars as much as is possible. These are the three primary goals which we're working on at this time in order to prepare for the coming externalization of the hierarchy, which we're told is the timing for which is due to be set in 2025 in a hierarchical conclave. And so our work is really to prepare the way for that event. And once that externalization begins to take place, the plan for our planet will take a major step forward. You know, so the masters of the wisdom who are involved in that externalization, which is about six in number, we're told, they're preparing now their vehicle so that they can withstand the intensity of the heaviness of the vibration, which is present in our world today. So they serve that plan in a multitude of ways, depending on their particular ray makeup and dharma, as do we. So...
Wonderful. Thank you.
Sure. Myrna writes, thank you. There's always something new to learn. Yeah, that's for sure, Myrna. Estelle writes, is Maitreya another name for the Christ? And what is the connection between the planetary logos and the Christ? Well, the logos, Maitreya is another name for the Christ. In Buddhist teachings, many Buddhists are looking for the coming one, and his name is Maitreya in Buddhist scriptures. We in the West look for the Christ if we are a Christian, and those of a Muslim tradition look for the Imam Mahdi, and in the Hindu scriptures, they're looking for the Kalki avatar. So there are different names, and those who adhere to no particular spiritual faith are in many instances, out of the very desperation of their lives and their love for humanity, also invoking a great teacher to come forth at this dawning of the new age. So they might not know this teacher by any particular name, but yet they believe and know that something is happening on our planet. So and the connection between the Logos and the Christ, well, Christ often spoke that he was not going to be with us. He was going to the Father. And the Father aspect, the Logos, is certainly Christ's master, I guess you could speak. And it's embodied in the personality aspect of the Logos is Sanat Kumara, the Ancient of Days. So they're definitely related. And that's the highest aspect, that Logos. Galaxy 5-8 says, so our planetary Logos is a rebel with a cause. Yes, definitely. Definitely. Clint writes, I read that when the energies of the three planetary centers, Shambhala hierarchy and humanity, are fused and blended, Earth will become a sacred planet, and that the use of the great invocation is a method of integrating these centers and one way we can contribute to the process of Earth becoming a sacred planet. Yeah, that really is very true, and hence the importance of the great invocation and the bringing through of that sacredness, which, as I said, has already been established on one level into outer manifestation through the use and means of the great invocation. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Clint. We are told, though, that it's interestingly enough that there is an alignment being established right now between these three centers, but it's a temporary alignment. So I think it's very much related to this particular time in planetary history, which we're told is the time for which the spiritual hierarchy, the masters of the wisdom, have been preparing ever since their inception on this planet 18 million years ago. So there's something so special about this time as we're preparing for the externalization and the subsequent reappearance of the world teacher, which is bringing about a temporary alignment between these three centers. And so our use of the Great Invocation today not only serves this long-term purpose of helping to make our planet sacred, but also this shorter-term, imminent externalization and reappearance. So thank you for bringing up that point. David writes and shares a quote from Leaves of Moria's Garden 1, Sloka 444, which says, sacrifice is necessary and the flame of the offering purifies like ozone. Even savages burn their sacrifice as a crude symbol of the act of offering. Thank you. Letitia writes, it came to me last week that the more triangles that are formed increases the surface area around the planet for the light and goodwill to reach humanity and has a subsequent trickle-down effect. Yes, thank you. Yes, if we visualize, we do, we always visualize the planet surrounded by a network of triangles. And hopefully our visualizations will come true, and one day in the not too distant future, there will be a multitude of triangles. Now there are triangles, but there's room for many, many more. Rosalind writes, the next step for humanity as a whole is soul fusion. We need to create that in ourselves first. Yes. That fusion is perhaps a ways off for the majority of humanity, but perhaps the demonstration of goodwill and right human relationships is the first step, which can come about as the result of the disciples in the world affecting a fusion with their souls, which is preceded, as I said, by contact. Stephanie writes, new language is certainly necessary. If it was also savage when people rape and pillage the other, especially in the name of God, they have created in their own images. Yeah. Yeah, language is important. Thank you for sharing. Rosalie writes, as the triangles increase, perhaps one day all we will see is light. Well, certainly we'll see a lighted planet. Teresa writes, my understanding of service is that it flows naturally from soul contact. We have to take care that sacrifice is not seen from a personality glamour perspective. Yes. We have to view it more as making sacred, making whole. And of course, to do that, we do have to sacrifice the non-essentials, of which there are many in our lives. And through that means then we can come more fully under the influence of this law. All right, so why don't we now take a moment of silence to again link up with each other and all Triangles members, and we close. Thank you all. And just another reminder that we now have on our Triangles blog all of the transcripts of the webinars, and we'll be posting the audio files for all future webinars there if you'd like to share them with others. And thank you again for your participation, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.